Competitive public speaking? Is that like competitive basket weaving?
No, it's forensics. It's competitive public speaking. You prepare, or you write a speech, and you go in front of judges, and they're like, did you suck, or were you good, essentially.
How is that different than debate?
Because we're not debating somebody, we are just actually giving a speech that we either composed.
How is this different from running for president?
We're being honest.
Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table, a podcast where we talk about things that we think are topical and trendy. This week, we have the two trendiest of all of us here, because the non-trendy people are absent. Of course, that leaves Scott and Diana, and we're going to be presenting a special short episode, not just because we're the shortest members of the podcast, but also because we're lazy and we don't have a lot of content.
Wait, you're taller than Ian, aren't you?
I don't know that.
Damn, you're right. I just outed Scott.
Am I taller than Ian?
I'm pretty sure you are. Ian is like...
I think his beard makes him at least 2 inches taller.
Yeah, you know, his beard goes up instead of down, so it adds the height.
So today, we're just going to tell you, first of all, spoiler warning, Game of Thrones, Season 8.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, and you do care about it, cut off this episode now. If you have seen it, probably also cut off this episode now. It's not getting any better. I already made all the jokes I have prepared.
We're also recording this before we've seen the actual final episode. So if we make predictions and get things wrong, fuck you. We tried.
I'm not getting any predictions wrong, but if Diana gets them wrong, send her some hate mail. brought to the table@gmail.com.
Look, you're not wrong. I forget all why right. I started protesting.
Diana, also very sick.
Also very sick.
Sounds like this.
Also, I'm low-key dying, but it's great because it fits the Game of Thrones theme. So, you know, we thought it was perfect to go together.
Doesn't fit the Game of Thrones theme. Or maybe it does, because everybody that I don't care about is dying.
Well, yeah, okay. So, I guess we can... That's probably a pretty solid first point is they made this big deal about people dying... But all the people that we, like, only low-key care about are dying.
Yeah, let's start chronologically before we just start selling random shit like we normally do.
Before I just start going off on the biggest rant.
Season 8, episode 1 and 2 was just so much exposition over what? It was probably close to 3 hours of content, right?
Yeah, I watched it on Hulu, so we only had, like, 2 sets of commercials that were, like, maybe...
I was on HBO Go.
Ah, nice. So, like... It was a majority of content. Like, there was an hour plus of actual content. I'm gonna, like, round it to about an hour. So for 2 hours of content, they spent 2 hours setting up a bunch of shit, and when you know you only have, like, a finite amount of episodes to end and wrap a lot of stuff up, we did not have time for this. We did not have time for Jon and Dany to have this ooh moment with dragons and waterfall. We did not have time, as much as I am there for it, for Arya and Gendry to just get together, even though the fandom has been calling for that for so long.
I'm glad you're here to tell me about the fandom, because I honestly don't care enough.
It's fucking wild. Arya and Gendry being endgame is so hardcore, but also people are still rooting for Sansa and Tyrion, but they also really wanted Sansa and Sandor to kind of end up together.
This is enough of fandom.
Look, this is the perspective I'm here to provide. I'm not saying it's a good one.
I actually really enjoyed some of the scenes that they put in there. It was just, they made everything, like, so unnecessarily long, maybe for drama, I don't know. Like, it feels like there were some really good parts that I liked about episodes 1 and 2. Not much can be said about the remaining episodes, but episodes 1 and 2 had some good parts. If it was just episode 1 that had a lot of the content of 1 and 2, I think it would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good scenes, like making Brienne a knight was like a really impactful and dramatic scene, and it really added to the atmosphere and the story. And,
yeah.
But we didn't need it. Like, it
no, I think
did nothing.
That's one of the, like, okay, sure, that could have been removed, but also it could have been left in. It's just they had so many kind of unnecessary scenes like that were left in.
I mean, like, the it's interesting. The writing styles kind of remind me, like, if you've ever gotten, like, a big paper or a big assignment that you know is due, like, 2 months away. And so for, like, the first month and a half, you fucking chill and you don't really do much. And then you get in the last half a month and you are powering through all the points. So it's, like, the first two episodes were this long, languid, like, storytelling that, while not the best writing, was kind of a throwback to, like, some of the really great moments throughout the series. And then the next few episodes have just been boom, 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 go, 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 top speed, top speed. And it's just this weird dissonance of them trying to set things up and them just falling flat in the payoff because they didn't have enough time to set it up or they set it up poorly.
Yeah, I mean, I think I enjoyed episode two because characters at least were mostly faithful to what they were in previous seasons. Like Brienne wanting to become a knight and accepting it like, oh, I don't need to be a knight or whatever, felt just like Brienne, yeah, right? And it felt like maybe they were closing out her character arc in a, like a respectable way because she was going to die the next episode like we thought all was possible.
Yeah.
Unlike what actually happened where all the main characters somehow survived with only like they fell down on asphalt kind of scratches.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the problem is the first two episodes, you're right, do a lot of really great character growth and you get these kind of arcs that
I wouldn't
are kind
call
of
it great.
Well, great in the sense that you kind of get the end of the circle of character growth. You get this, like, we've watched Brienne through all this time and all this period, and I'm, like, trying to marry up what I also, I've read all the books, so I'm trying to marry up with, like, the books and the character. And it yeah. seemed like such a great moment where she's like, I don't need to be a knight. And I'm like, that is a great fucking moment for her to end on. And if she died in the next episode, I would be sad, but I would be like, she got a full character arc. But instead, all the characters who died were, like, characters who were secondary, who we didn't, like, some people care about, but for the most part aren't the characters that in the books
there
would
were
have
no
their
tragic
own
deaths
yeah.
in there.
Well,
they were all characters who were, like, okay with dying, basically.
Yeah. And
or, you know, not important characters.
Yeah. They were, none of the characters who died were plot important characters. They were all characters who were secondary, who worked as plot elements, and who were not part of the moving emotional story that Game of Thrones is known for. And
I mean, Jorah, maybe some people enjoyed, but like,
that's fair.
His character arc, that was like how he's supposed to die.
Yeah.
There was no heartbreak, like, Jon Snow didn't die, Arya didn't die.
Yeah, none of the remaining Starks died, Dany didn't die, Jaime didn't die, Brienne didn't die, Podrick survived. I thought for sure he was gonna die. Well, Theon Greyjoy died, and I was, we'll say, if we...
He had a redemption ending. Like,
yeah. If we had had a few more moments, a few more deaths like that, I think it would have added more to, like, the rest of the season. Because there were yeah. these characters, like Theon, who had a full redemption arc, who had this, you can't see the fun circular hand motion I'm making, who had a
full... wasn't that much of a full redemption arc. I hated all of the Theon scenes, to be honest with you. A lot of them were either awkward or just like, I don't really care about this character, just move on to the next scene.
I'll be honest, Theon in the books, it's been a little while since I've picked them up. But Theon in the books was more engaging than I found him in the TV show, and I'm a little less excusing for Game of Thrones, and I know they're different mediums, but Game of Thrones had a long time, and a lot of time to develop characters and do other things with them, and with Theon, it just felt like he fell into a stereotype redemption arc that, you know, he had a good death, but I couldn't really say that, like, I thought him as engaging a character as he was in the books.
Yeah, I feel like, just as a general thought, I'm going to get to how bad the battle scenes were, but that's mostly just...
oh, it's...
that's
it's
just
great.
A personal pet peeve. It's not really plot or really writing,
guys,
I guess.
Guys, you've been missing it. I will get on the computer, and I'll be hanging, and Scott will get on after a Game of Thrones episode, and I'll be like, Scott, how did you like the episode? And he's like, the battle scenes were awful. This is trash. Why the fuck did they do this? They should not have survived. Did they take no military classes? And I'm like, you have a point, but also...
Anyways, character development. I feel like they're just swinging back and forth on how to make bad guys happen, and they've really lost the, like, unique bad guy creating edge that they had. One of the things that I was, like, hoping going into, what was the last episode? Episode 5?
I thought it was 6.
No, I think there's only 2 going to be. Anyways, the episode where, you know, Dany's coming up to try and take over King's Landing. I was actually rooting for Cersei to, like, to win, because she was the only character who had, like, maintained her character as a bad person. But then they kind of flipped it, and they portrayed Cersei as, like, oh, I was doing it for my family. I mean, she's still kind of crazy, but she gets her own, like, kind of tragic death scene. And Danny is all of a sudden, like, the supervillain. And it felt like such a weird 180 that was completely unnatural.
Yeah, I mean, you were also right. It was episode 5. So, I feel like the whole Danny going mad is very fitting with the kind of theme of the books and a lot of, you know, the original writing and themes inside of the side of such, and it kind of made sense with the TV show too, where it was kind of like to grasp this power that is the Iron Throne and rule this massive kingdom, you have to do some horrible things to get there, kind of deal. Like, it's very difficult for an honest man to make this happen, and we see Dany make a lot of hard choices in learning to be a leader and a ruler. And I think that if they were like, hey, we're gonna have her be a bad guy, was an actual thing they wanted to do, they should have actually spent the time to develop it, and instead, yeah, they had it happen in, like, 2 episodes. They had the first 2 episodes were all plot development, and none of it was there. And then the last episode, they're like, she was crazy all along. And I'm like, no, it would have been really cool to see her kind of have this descent into madness over the seasons, where she's feeling more and more vicious, and she's falling into what her ancestors were portrayed as, these vicious tyrants. That would have been an interesting plot thing to happen, but instead it just kind of happens in one season. And Cersei, who is this manipulative, cunning character who has been fabulous to watch, better than Real Housewives, like, so interesting to watch, instead gets this cop-out scene where she's heartfelt, broken about not wanting to die, and I'm sure there's some level of poetic license, but it just came off as really insincere. Not because of the actress. Actress did a fine job, but just because of how quick it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't super upset with that ending for her, because it is still fitting for her character. Like, people will do strange things when they know they're gonna die, right? And up until that point, like, especially the scene where she's like, well, just, like, we have the entire Iron Fleet. And it's like, sorry, the Iron Fleet's dead. And she's like, oh, we're still gonna win. Like, she's clearly in denial of everything. That seems pretty fitting for her character. The whole building coming down, crushing on her was very, like, you know, romantic drama kind of levels of,
yeah,
of drama. But I was okay with that. The whole we're gonna make Dany a character that everybody wants to, like, be like, yeah, that's who should be on the Iron Throne. They make hard decisions, but they're a just ruler. And then she, like, has, like, a 180, boyfriend breaks up with her, goes crazy, God, burns down a fucking city.
Like,
feels very ungenuine.
Yeah, and second of all, could she not be quite as pissed at Jon? They just found out that they're, like, first generation related, and even if he's like, hey, I need some time, because this is kind of creepy, because my whole identity as a person has just been revolutionized, not to mention the fact that we're related. You know, I'm gonna need some time. I might have to back out of this relationship. Are you telling me that the thing that makes her go mad is not this generations-long madness in her family? It's not this sacrificing everything she has for this one goal in her life. It's because somebody fucking broke up with her? That's the trigger? And I'm sure they didn't intend it.
Didn't even break up with her, really.
I'm sure they didn't intend it to write it that way, and that's part of the thing of, like, just give us the writer's book. That's going to be more info. But it came off as that. It came off as she's having a bad day because she got broken up with. And, you know, yeah, we had another almost inconsequential character death, which is also low-key problematic because Game of Thrones has a problem with killing off their characters of color in really horrible ways that make them not impactful for the story. But that's another problem. It's just, you're right, it just seems really ingenuine, and this payout just seem of her being crazy and tyrannical just seems to come from nowhere, and you read, yeah, the title of the last, you know, episode, which is Queenslayer, and you're like, well, we all know how this is gonna
end. The problem I have is they could have taken that and made it, had like a similar effect and made it so much more realistic. Unless they had somebody in the SFX team who was like, I really want to make a dragon burning down a city. Gotta get that on my resume because this show's over. Like, that's what it felt like, right? Like, they could have had her, like, still snap in some way. Maybe don't show the scene where Jon's like, yeah, let's not do it right now because you're my aunt. Don't show that scene at all. Maybe imply it, or at least don't make it seem like that's the cause of her immediate snap. But she could still snap, even though they've won the battle, and brutally murder Cersei and maybe brutally murder some other people. And people could still think she's crazy without her kind of betraying her own, kind of what she's built up for a while.
Yeah, I think that an interesting way would have been to portray that would have been, gracious, I can never remember her, how to say her name, Missandei, thank you. It would have been more interesting if she, like, storms, did some damage, storms up to Cersei, and everybody's like, give mercy, you know, prove to these people that you're a fair and just ruler, and she's like, bitch, no. And then you get this, like, kind of snap of, like, you've caused me, I don't know, they're... My point is there...
I mean, her killing Cersei wouldn't make her crazy, right?
Yeah.
She would have to do something extra, but I feel like burning down the city was the easiest way they thought to make her crazy, especially when they did that really lazy foreshadowing with Tyrion's only line that episode being like, they're gonna ring the bells, don't burn them down if they ring the bells!
Yeah, that's the other thing, is Tyrion has become... He started as one of my favorite characters, and I was there for all his scenes, and... I love Tyrion. Like, he's such an interesting character. He's very complex. I love following him throughout the show and the books. And in this last season, he has just become... I get the whole, oh, well, he's trying to be a good, honest man now. It's like, no, really? He's just being a dumbass. And for a character who's so prized for his wit and his intellect and his cunning, instead, he's just been this Ned Stark of the season and wrong about everything. And I'm not pleased.
Yeah, nobody does anything unexpected either. Like, everybody feels, I don't know how to put it, but it feels just like they thought, what's the most likely thing this person will do? We'll just write that in and kind of close it out. Like, Tyrion kind of supports the people he's going to support.
Yeah.
Dany goes crazy so they can kill her off and have an ending to it. That, like, even with the Arya scene that people are mad about, like, her teleporting the Night King, like, they foreshadow it, like, you're gonna go kill the Night King. That's literally what the red-haired lady kind of says. It's all just, there's nothing like the end of last season where, like, Arya kills Littlefinger.
Yeah.
That was kind of a surprise ending, and that felt like really, it felt like really clear to the character's backstory, right? Like, Arya and Sansa have had this, like, very wild and very different journey, but in the end, you still have the backstory. They're sisters.
Yeah.
And they will get along and they're going to move through it. Also, Littlefinger's a creep and he deserves to die.
Yes, he does.
There's been none of that in this season. It's finally, like, just like, let's close out some character arcs. We'll ruin some, like making Brienne cry when Jaime leaves when she's been fine her entire life without anybody else.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Okay. I'm getting just, like, angry talking about this. So let's talk more about battle scenes.
Yeah. So I will say that, for the battle scenes in particular this last episode with the dragon and the fire, it's gotten to the point where I was so invested with the books and the show, I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy this for what it is, and what it is watching a dragon destroy a city in a fantasy realm, and that's some cool shit to watch.
Yeah, I mean, if you take it like kind of a Marvel movie style thing,
yeah.
There's some really good stuff going on. We'll forget about the non-HD battle scene that was at night in the snow where you couldn't see shit.
Oh my god, yes. Please, for the love of God, I can't wait. I had to go rewatch parts of that because I was watching it live and several members of my family were like, can we turn on the brightness on this? And I'm like, it's a TV. We can't do that with this particular TV. But like, you could not see anything for that night battle and it was super frustrating.
Yeah, and I felt like there's actually some pretty cool action scenes in that. And you got to see a lot of Winterfell, and there's... I think that was, like, kind of well done, as, like, choreographed and stuff like that. But the actions that a lot of people take just make no sense. They're all horrible. They put their armies in front of the castle in both cases. Both the people in King's Landing, they put all their mercenaries out there, and they, you know, all immediately die.
Yeah.
To be fair, they all would have died in any place if you saw the end of it. But the people defending the north are like, let's put everybody outside the castle. Granted, it's not a big castle, but they make no effort to defend with the advantages they're given. They make one tiny little ditch and light it on fire. And it's like, why didn't you just dig a moat that was, you know, 20 feet deep and light that on fire?
So, particularly, I think the Winterfell battle makes me a little more frustrated because for a battle that was supposed to be planned and supposed to be tactical and calculated and we gathered so much information on it, like, the King's Landing battle was very, like, all right, and we're moving forward to go fight these people. But for Winterfell, it was their main thing, their main advantage was working on tactics and making sure that their armies were well placed and making sure that they used everything to their advantage. And for a battle that was supposed to be so focused on that, we got nothing.
They got the generals or the lords or whatever of all the houses. They've got Tyrion and his, you know, mystical mind who's gotten every decision wrong this season. Maybe that's why they have the
three-eyed raven dude who's not the kid.
Yeah, they didn't use any, like, yeah. Why can't Bran just be like, hey, there's the Night King? I get why they can't do that for, like, you know, plot being good plot reasons, but that's still just such a weird power to not use.
Yeah, for they have a being so who claims to know, like, everything, like the history of men, and knows generally everything we can about the Night King, and we get a handful of things like, okay, these are the two ways we can kill the Night King. Sick. Hey, Night King's looking for me. And that's sick. Sick. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, they just had just poor planning all around. And they even portrayed how the poor planning went wrong poorly. Like, it was supposed to be, if you listen to, like, the after episode thing on HBO where the writers talk about the episode, they sent the Dothraki in first because they sent their cavalry in to die immediately. Yeah. That doesn't make sense as a military decision. Whatever. I'm not a general. I'm just repeating this from other people. But it was supposed to be that Jon and Dany were going to hide up on the dragons, wait for the Night King, kill them, and then they win the fight, you know, implicitly. But it was supposed to be that, oh, they send in the Dothraki and then all their lights go out, and that's very dramatic. And it makes Dany worry about, like, the extinction of the Dothraki and what that means. And so she, like, is upset, and she flies down immediately with her dragon to fight, and it's a bad military move or whatever. You don't get, like, any of that in the episode.
Nope.
Like, she kind of just leaves, and it's like, oh, maybe their watch struck 6 a.m. and now it's time to burn shit.
Yeah.
That's the impression I got.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of a confused look from Jon, but yeah. He kind of looks like that all the time.
Yeah, that is Jon's perpetual face for good reason this entire season.
Johnny doesn't know.
You don't know.
That's all I'm going to complain about. There's just none of the characters feel like they're being true to their story. I was rooting there for Cersei for a little bit because she still felt like it. Like, protect my ruling at all costs. And then she took a little bit of a turn. That whole scene with Jaime killing Euron, whatever.
Brienne deserved better. Brienne deserved more than standing outside crying over a man leaving her. It was really upsetting.
Grey Worm deserved better, too.
Yeah. There were a lot of characters who deserved better, and I think that's part of the reason why. I think maybe if they gave themselves a few more episodes, and maybe if they had start some of the setup so that they would get the payoff at the end, even if it's just encased in this one season, I think maybe it would have developed better. And it's gotten to the point where I was talking with a friend about it after one of the episodes, and he's like, I was mad at first, but I'm not mad now. I'm just enjoying it for what it is. And I'm like, you know what? That's the kind of the sad part is, just enjoying it for what it is.
It's still a pretty okay TV show. I'm still going to watch the last episode.
Yeah, still going to watch the last episode. The production is incredible. I will say, that was a really great scene, watching a dragon destroy an entire city. It looks great. Yeah, exactly. It looks real
cool. I'd pay for that as a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But, alright.
Yeah.
We're done here. Hopefully the last episode is amazing and we're all wrong, but we're still posting the episode online anyways because
we gotta.
We already recorded
it. We gotta do it for the Vine, Scott.
Do it for the Vine.
All right.
If you're a Game of Thrones fan and you liked and or hated this episode, send us an email, broughttothetable@gmail.com, or tweet at us on Twitter, @tothetablepod, because Brought to the Table was too long. We've also got social media pages on Tumblr, Facebook, probably other ones that I don't ever use, where we're just Brought to the Table. We're a podcast, guys. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, on your Android or iPhone.
Anywhere that you look up for podcasts.
Pretty much, yeah. And if you can't find us, send us an email and we'll add whatever you want to whatever story you want.
We will have,
because it's really easy.
We'll have Kevin hand deliver your podcast in a
Kevin will hand tape. Update our XML file that does our RSS feed and hand make sure that the parser works, because for some reason some of them are very finicky, especially Apple's. Anyways, if you're thinking about making a podcast, RSS feeds suck. That's all I have tonight.
Uh-huh.
Hawaiian calzones.
All right, bye guys.
Bye.